chapter 1. We return to where we left off last week. Romans 1. We are in our second message of the execution of God's wrath. Again, we'll read this entire section beginning in Romans 1, verse 24. Verse 24 is where we will begin. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among them, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, verse 31, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Father, we pray now that your Spirit would help us, that he who is the true teacher would rest upon me as I speak, and each of us as we listen. Give us understanding. Help us to hear with ears to hear. And give us hearts to receive your word and truth. So come near and in your powerful, sovereign Spirit, give life and teach and strengthen the saints. We pray this, Father, by your grace and for your glory and for the good of your people. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. The apostle, we begin to see the last few weeks, the apostle has turned our attention to two revelations of God. Two revelations of God. Two things that God is making known to us, being made known to, and actually to all of mankind. The two in this passage is one, if you remember, it's in verse 16 and 17, it was the revelation of the gospel, the good news. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is what? Is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then the second revelation began in verse 18. It began in verse 18, but it runs the rest of this chapter down to verse 32, and it's the revelation of God's wrath. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is what? Is revealed. But it's actually, remember, it's a present tense verb. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. There are the two revelations. The gospel and God's wrath. And now, as man hears this, fallen man, rebellious man, declares, There's no God. How do I know that? How do I know there's no God? Because I continue in my sin. We all continue in our sin. Every day, every week, every month, every year, and nothing happens. We just go on sinning day after day. See? There's no God. Paul responds to that and says, that's right. And in fact, your sin has blinded you. Verse 18, you remember the suppression. There's a willful suppression of the truth. You're blind. You're blind to the fact, listen, that you, in your sin, continuing in your sin, day after day, what you're blind to is that it is actually a manifestation of God's wrath. You in your sin, day after day, in your state of rebellion, is a manifestation of God's wrath. Therefore, you desperately need the gospel that you might be saved. Verse 16 and 17. We began to see last week that there is this threefold repetition in this passage. The apostle, he's emphasizing, it appears, the point that if, as you continue in your sin, in your rebellion to God, that there's no escape. There's no escape if you continue in your sin. Those three expressions of being turned over, given over to our sin. Verse 24, therefore God gave them up. You remember that? God gave them up. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up. And then verse 28, God gave them over. There they are. And if you remember, these words are the biblical teaching of what is known as reprobation. Reprobation are divine, are judicial abandonment. These are legal. This is a legal expression, like standing before a judge and he issues a sentence against you. And in this case, fallen man, rebel man, has been given over to his sin. And so the wrath of God in verse 18 is revealed or manifested in this abandonment. And understand that this is not just a passive work of God that's allowing fallen man to go about his way. The word for gave, God gave them up, is a verb. God is active. This is the wrath of God. Now let me answer a question here. We began to see that last week. I was asked a question before service start. So in this abandonment, in this reprobation, how's that different from Christians in their sin? Someone asked me. What's the difference between that and a Christian being in their sin? The difference is, verse 16 and 17, the gospel. The difference will be, as we will see as this unfolds, will be chapter 3. The gospel. That because of Christ, believers, the difference is believers are forgiven. Believers are justified, declared not guilty in Christ.
The difference is that chapter 6 is coming. That we have now, because of faith, we've been united to Christ. United to Christ, indwelt by the Spirit. And now we rise to walk in newness of life. The power of sin is broken. The difference is chapter 8 coming. Heaven and glory, new heavens, new earth, new body. We will be delivered from the very presence of sin. That's the difference. That's the difference. Is that we're forgiven. And the power of sin has been broken. And heaven, glory, is what we await. That's the difference. We saw last week the first one. I hope that answered the question. We saw last week in verse 24 and 25, the first one. The first of these threefold repetition. And it is God gave them up to uncleanness. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. As we saw, God gives man, and this is connected to where we're headed, these build on one another. God gives man over to his fallen desires, passions, to his fallen nature. Verse 24, you remember? He does this through or in the lust, the sinful desires of his heart. That's what he did. And then the uncleanness, notice this, the uncleanness of verse 24 is that they've been given over or up to some kind, he hasn't told us yet, but it's some kind of bodily uncleanness is the idea of that word. It's not a ceremonial, it's not just some bare ceremonial uncleanness. It's an actual sin, an act. It's over to a bodily uncleanness. And we see this by the end of verse 24 by this language, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So all this was the result of, because of verse 23, that there was this dark and evil, wicked exchange where fallen man, listen closely, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And by not giving proper glory and worship to the revelation of God, but making their own religion through idolatry, God gave them over to their sin and rebellion. He gave them up. And all we've heard so far is that he's given them over to some kind of sinful lust of their hearts and to some kind of bodily uncleanness where they dishonored their bodies among themselves. Now, verse 26, he begins to unfold that. He opens that up a little more. In verse 26 and 27, we have the second account of God, the second repetition of giving them over. And here, man, fallen man, is given over to vile passions. That's number two. To vile passions. Notice the language changed. It's vile passions. For this reason, verse 26, here we are. Here we are this morning. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Now, the Bible doesn't mince words. God here is going to speak forcefully and plainly that he might be understood by all. God gave them up to vile passions, What are these? How did man, verse 24, dishonor their bodies among them, Paul? What are these now, what you are calling vile passions that originated from the wickedness of man's heart? What is this that's now overflowing as you have turned them over to? Verse 26, he begins to tell us. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. God revealed himself in creation. Man naturally worships. They should naturally worship the revelation of God, the truth of God, the one true God. But man exchanges and rebels against the revelation of God. And as man turns away from God in rebellion and worships the creature rather than the creator, God turns him over. If it's natural for man to worship, it's natural for man to worship. We've been made for the glory of God as image bearers to worship him. We're going to see this more next week. But when we rebel against that which is natural, that is, before the fall, we were made to worship God. But now, because of sin, we are bent away from God. Now we worship, we create our own religion, idolatry. When we do that, God turns us over to that which is not natural. That which we do in the heart and the mind and the soul and not worship and glorify the one true God and create our own religion. Now God manifests, his judgment is seen for all to see with the eye, to notice. What God does is he turns us over to that which is unnatural. For their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, verse 27, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in them the penalty of their error, which was due. Again, God is speaking forcefully and plainly this morning that we all might hear. This is so relevant. At our current time, in so many ways. Listen very clearly. We all need to listen to the truth. We all need to hear God's warnings. We all need wisdom from God for our lives, right? What did the psalmist tell us in Psalm 119, 105? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do we believe that? All of his word, right? We hear the hard words, right? The hard words that we might learn, right? Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light into my path. Okay, God. Because of our fallen and depraved nature, and as it evidences itself in our current cultural setting, again, it's vital that we hear the words of the apostle. God uses his word to shape our consciences. If we don't hear his word, and we're listening constantly to the word of the culture and a fallen man, things will become normalized. So we need to hear God's word to shape us, our conscience. It's dangerous. Listen, church. Listen, parents. It's dangerous to shield ourselves. It's dangerous to shield our children or those whom we love from the truth of God's word. Speak the truth in love. If we turn away from his word and say, these are strong words. I don't know if I need to hear this. I don't know if my family, my children need to hear this. I will warn you, that has spiritually lethal consequences. The culture, our culture is teaching your children. It's teaching your children whether you like it or not. And so, let's labor as Christ's church. Let's labor as parents to counter the lies of the culture with the truth. Right? Now, what we're looking at this morning, we're going to push into this morning, and then we'll move into it further next week. I want us to look at the text, what's right here at the text, the facial reading of the text, and then I want us to begin to next week consider what's happening in our culture and why. Why does this happen? What's Paul saying? Why this happens the way it does? And I think there's some answers here. Now notice in verse 20, in our text, in verse 26 and 27, Paul says, God gave them up to vile passions. Vile passions. This is translated various ways in some of your Bibles. It's vile, vile affections or dishonorable passions, degrading passions. One translation has it as shameful lust. Listen to me. We've been deceived. We keep hearing the word from the culture. They're deceiving us. They're trying to give us a false word like the serpent in the garden. The sin that he's about to write about, the apostle says it's vile. That's what he says in verse 27. It's vile. He says it's, listen to my language, or listen to the apostle. He says it's shameful. It's shameful. Sin is shameful. The older generation, you remember them speaking that way? I can remember my mother. That's just shameful. We don't talk that way anymore. Because nothing's shameful. The Bible says there are things that are shameful. Things that are vile. Sin is shameful. And individuals should be ashamed of their sin. That's what the apostle says. It's shameful. It's vile. It's indecent behavior. And it ought to be shamed by our culture rather than embraced. And next week, I want to talk about why that doesn't happen. There's a reason that doesn't happen anymore. So there's a sin here that the apostle says is vile and shameful. Secondly, he says a second thing about this sin. It's not only vile and shameful. He makes the apostle, in fact, over and over again, he says, he's clear. It's not natural. That's his word. It's not natural. It's not after, in other words, it's not after the created order. It's not that which is proper or fitting. Look at Romans 1:26 again. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Do you see that? It's against nature. Likewise, verse 27, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. We're quickly becoming an island, being closed in and pushed out by the culture. Paul's not describing an alternative lifestyle. He's not describing an alternative lifestyle. It's something that is shameful, vile, and not natural. This is something that is a display, listen to this, this is something that is a display of God's wrath. A display of God's wrath, something that rebellious men and women are given over to in judgment. So, what's Paul talking about? Everybody in the room knows. At least if you're over 13, you know. Paul is talking about the sin of homosexuality. Homo, same sex, same sex. That is, it's someone that is sexually attracted to the same sex and has had committed indecent acts. In verse 26, he begins with the women, what we would consider and use the term lesbianism. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, affections. For even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. It's as if he's shocking us. We typically think of as sexual sins more male-oriented. Again, we're going to talk about that next week, but he wants to shock us and say, even the women have been given over to this. Even the women are doing that, which is vile and which is against nature. And then the second one is in verse 27, homosexuality or sodomy. We get from Sodom and Gomorrah in the book of Genesis where God destroyed them. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. The Bible teaches that homosexuality is a sin. Do you hear me, church? That is what the Bible teaches. In Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. Fallen men and women abandon God in our passage. And now God abandons them and gives them over to sexual sins. And in this case, homosexuality. These are things that are not natural. The West, in particular, it's very evident. We are being given over culturally. Listen closely. Things that are unnatural, it's unnatural that a mother and father would kill their children in abortion. That's not natural. Homosexuality, an individual that is a biological male or female, insisting that they're really the opposite sex or in the wrong body. That's vile. That's not natural. In verse 24, Paul said that he's given man over, fallen man, to his heart, his fallen heart. Again, verse 24, through or in the lust of the sinful desires of their heart. And that's where the sin lies. Once we fail, once we rebelled against God, we turned away from God and to ourselves. And there became a well of poison that sprung forth. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us the heart, there's the source, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But listen to this. Have you heard people say, Jesus never talked about homosexuality? That's not true. The Bible is God's word, all of it. But Jesus himself, and does it in Matthew, he does it also in Mark. In Mark chapter 7, verse 21, listen what he says. In Mark chapter 7, verse 21, for from within, from the heart, out of the heart, he says, out of the heart of men, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts, adulteries. And then he says this word, fornications, murders, thefts, verse 22, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, verse 23. Of all these evil things, did you hear that? Of all these evil things come from within and defile a man. The word that Jesus used in verse 21 of Mark 7, fornication, is the Greek word from where we get the word. It's the root for where we get the word. It's the word porneia. Porneia, you hear it. Porn, pornography. Jesus is using, that's a term that Jesus is speaking. It's a catchword of all the forms of sexual immorality found in the law of God. Like in Leviticus 18:22. And all these things, he says, all these evil things, those things that are contrary to God's word, these sexual sins, fornications, are evil things, he says, and they defile man. If you look that word up, use a Greek lexicon, you'll find all the different lists of sexual sins that are listed there. They're all there. Now pause again. So Paul is teaching, the Bible teaches, that when we do not worship God as we should, as we were created for, and because of our fall and rebellion, we've turned away from God. And God, as we have turned away and rebelled against God, God turns us over to our sin. And the sins that he's speaking of here, he says that there's a sin that's visible and manifest, and it's vile and shameful. And so, because we will not do what we have been naturally made to do, to worship God, to glorify God, to enjoy God forever, now the wrath of God will manifest itself in the lives of fallen men by doing that which is not natural. Do you see what he's saying? We will worship idols, and we will participate in our bodies something that is immoral and vile. Sexual immorality of all kinds is what he's saying. And you see it. Now, listen. It's all here, especially young people. Listen closely. Any kind The biblical teaching concerning sex. Listen, young people, any kind of sexual relationship outside of biblical marriage of a man and of a woman is considered sin. Period. That's how the Bible describes it. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Because that's the creative order, that's the creative order in Genesis. Any kind of sexual relationship outside of biblical marriage of a man and a woman is considered sin. Period. There's no wiggle room. And the uncleanness of verse 24, that this which we have been given over to, remember, it was a kind of bodily uncleanness. It says, to dishonor their bodies among them. And this is what's happening. So therefore, verse 24, God, in the display of his wrath, has given man over to his rebellion and to his uncleanness, to things that are contrary to nature. God gave them up because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they suppressed the truth of God in unrighteousness. The Bible goes, especially in the Old Testament, into passages you want to cover your ears when it describes when God in his law condemns sin. Again, Leviticus 18:22, you should not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Verse 22, nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. That's in the Bible. Adultery, listen, the reason you're recoiling. You recoil when you hear those words. You should, because it's shameful. It's vile. Adultery is a sin, and that it distorts the natural place of sex in marriage of man and woman. Homosexuality is a greater sin. Maybe we need to talk about that. All sins are not the same. All sins will condemn you. The smallest sin will condemn you. All sins are not the same. There are greater and lesser sins. There are high-handed sins in the Bible. There's a reason Paul, right out of the mark, starts right here. Homosexuality is a greater sin in the fact that the Bible calls it an abomination. It's a greater distortion. We think adultery is wrong, but it's natural. It's man and female, but it's out of God's law and order because they're not married. It's a violation of the marriage covenant. But we recoil with homosexuality because it's a greater distortion. It's not man and woman. It's two men, two women. And then when Leviticus talks about bestiality, we really shudder because it's greater than both of those. It's vile and shameful. Now, these are hard words. Hard to read. Hard to speak about. This is why we practice expositional preaching. Because we're forced to go through passages like this when they come. If it was up to us and we're just picking and choosing week after week, we would never cover this stuff. Probably. It's why the culture's in the shape it is and why the church is in the shape it is. We must bring the truth of God's word to bear upon ourselves in the life of the church, in our homes, and make it plain to the surrounding culture around us. It's not popular. It's not going to win the praises of the world. But this is the teaching of Scripture. For time's sake, let me wrap this up. Let me say this. Next week, I want to push into this further. Why? Why is this the path? Why is this that which is given over? And secondly, what has happened in our culture to bring this about? And what's taking place now? Why there's so much confusion and distortion about this? I will attempt to answer that next week before we move to the third given, being given over. Let me close with this morning. Strong words, weighty words. This isn't the only sin that Paul lists in this passage. Long list of sins, isn't there? And all of these sins are listed in this passage in the revelation of God's wrath in the context that because the people that are hearing these words would be confronted in their sins and they would see their great need of the revelation of the gospel. 16, 17 of chapter 1. And then chapter 3, the wrath and the judgment of God for our sin, our rebellion, our guilt from homosexuality to adultery to idolatry to he even lists disobedient to parents. The wrath and the judgment that we deserve, Christ bears the penalty of God's wrath on the cross for sinners. You see, these are strong words. Our culture needs to hear them. We need to hear them, and we need to declare them and be very clear about it. But as we speak of these strong words to the culture and not take sin lightly, and that sin has a great price of the wrath and judgment of God, there is the good news of the gospel. There is grace and salvation to be set free from all sin. The passage that I read last week from 1 Corinthians, I read again. 1 Corinthians 6:9, because I want us to hear with their own ears that whatever the depth of our sin is, grace is held out to us. Life and salvation are offered by our God. When Paul would write to the Corinthians, you see it that these are the people of the church there that God has saved. Listen to his words, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such were some of you. In the long list of sins, there in chapter 1 and throughout the rest of the Bible, we're all found there to some degree or another. We're all condemned. We're all in need of the gospel. And so Paul says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. If you find yourself a slave to a sin like this sin, or any other sin, the Bible says you can be set free because of Christ. And your sins can be forgiven and washed away. You can be reconciled to God. You can be made right with God. You can be given new life and delivered from that has so entangled you, imprisoned you, and trapped you. And it's found in Jesus Christ. God and his Son came and lived the life that we did not and could not. He obeyed the law of God perfectly. He died on the cross. He bore the penalty of our sin and guilt. He died. He rose again from the dead. And the Bible says that all that would turn to Christ by faith, and faith alone, not by any works that we could do, but the work of Christ, trusting, believing, resting in Christ alone, you can be saved. So turn to Him this morning and be saved. And dear saints, many of you continue to battle unbelief and sin. Turn to Christ. Be delivered as His child. And let us praise God that He has saved us. He saved us from our sins. He has saved us from the wrath of God. Let us pray.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Covenant Reformed Baptist Church, Warrenton, Virginia. If you live in Northern Virginia, please join us for worship this Sunday. For more information, please visit us online at covenantrbc.org.